We'd like to say how deeply we appreciate all of your considerations of us through the week. The groceries have been put right into the ministry. You've been very adequate. Thank you so much. You've been very friendly, too. And it seems like that every place we go, the church is a reflection of its pastor. And I guess that's one of the reasons I'm liking you so much. I think you have one of the finest pastors and his wife that I have ever met anytime, anywhere. And if you think I say that everywhere I go, think again. This gentleman is an education to be around. And I feel like I'm a student among an elder, and I appreciate him and his wife so very much. And I appreciate this church and your fine work in this city. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou, John the Baptist." Boy, don't you know that was disappointing to Jesus. You know, if I was Jimmy Swaggart, I'd hate to be thought I was someone else. Anybody with a name as big as Jimmy Swaggart. Nobody's going to mistake Dave Reaver for anyone else, I'm sure of that. But don't you know that it was disappointing in a very natural human way? Jesus said, "Hey, who do you think I am?" "John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Well, people didn't know Jesus very well, but the disciples knew him. And Jesus said to Peter, "Simon Peter," or "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I know he didn't designate Peter, but Peter was the one who answered. "Whom do ye say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "God bless you, Peter. You're the only one that knew. You're the only one that said, at least. And James didn't tell you that. John didn't tell you that. Judas didn't tell you that. How do you think he knew? My Father, which is in heaven, who is a spirit, he is not flesh and blood, did not reveal it to you, Peter. But my Father, which is in heaven, he told you that secret." And you might say that Jesus said to Peter, "You are the mouthpiece of God." Wouldn't you think so? I certainly would. I would say any time that the Father in heaven, which is a spirit, and no man hath at any time, never has man seen God. The closest man ever came to seeing God was seeing the visible expression of an invisible God wrapped up in one man named Jesus. And since the time of Jesus and the day of Pentecost, and ever believing, born again, true Christian, man has seen God. Because man was made in the image of God. You want to know what God looks like? Look at man. True, born again man, not fallen man. Because God made man in his own image. Sometimes God looks pretty funny, doesn't he? One man said, "You don't believe God has a humor? Look at the guy beside you." Well, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," one of the most profound statements in all the Bible. And Jesus complimented him because it was not a statement he heard from a friend on earth, but he heard it from a spirit. And Peter articulated air that was inhaled into his lungs, passed through his larynx, and he spoke words that were given to him through his mind by the Spirit, and he spake the word of God. You understand that? And Jesus said right there in verse 20, "Just keep your mouth shut about who I am. I don't want you telling anybody you know me." I know there's more there, and it's very important, but for time's sake, let's just buzz right down to verse 20. He had just said to Peter, you're the mouthpiece of God, and now in verse 20 he says, keep your mouth shut about who I am. Have you ever read that before? How many of you have ever read that scripture? Have you ever wondered why? It's no disgrace to wonder why. I wondered for years, and one day I discovered. A lot of times, the reason I didn't know more is because I didn't read more. So the more you read, the more you know. Verse 21. From that time forth, that meant right then, immediately after he said, charged his disciples that they should tell no man he was Jesus the Christ, immediately, right then, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed. Then Peter took him. Oh, no, no. Nah, Peter didn't take him then. Peter didn't take him aside. But you see, Jesus said, and be raised again the third day, but Peter didn't hear that. Neither did the other disciples hear that. They did not hear Jesus say, on the third day I'll be raised again. I can prove it. Not only on this occasion, but in another occasion in this next chapter, the 22nd verse also. While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of men, and they'll kill him, and the third day be raised again, and they were all exceeding sorrow. Why get sad when in 3 days what you've lost you'll find again? Does it make sense, does it? And here in verse 22 of the 16th chapter, Jesus has just said, I'll suffer many things of the chief priests, scribes, the elders, and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord. He shall not be so unto thee. Thank you, Pastor. I get a double portion now. Thank you, sir. Are you with me this morning? You follow me? It shall not be so unto thee. Let's pretend a minute. And we've pretended several times in the meeting already. We can do it again. Get by with it. Let's pretend that if Jesus Christ could be the incarnate Son of God, brought down from the portals of heaven, made man, that let's pretend we could bring a devil out of hell and do the same thing. Okay? And instead of Peter standing there, let's say that there is a devil standing right beside Jesus, and Jesus said these words, I'll suffer many things of the chief priests, scribes, and elders, etc., and be killed and be raised again the third day. What do you think a devil in hell would say? He would say, be it far from thee. If there's anything I can do to stop it, I'll stop it. You'll never rise to your throne. Be it far from thee, Lord, it shall not be so unto thee. No wonder Jesus said to Peter, the mouthpiece of God, get behind me, Satan, you're an offense unto me. Because Peter suddenly became the mouthpiece of the devil. He could not have said more precise words than the devil himself would have spoken when he said, you will not be raised from the dead. Be it far from thee. It shall not be so. Well, we understand now why Jesus said, don't tell anybody who I am. Because I can't tell what's going to come out of your mouth next. You may one minute say, praise the Lord, I know Jesus. And with your thumb caught in the door the next minute, God only knows what will come out. Surely you've wondered why. Now you know. Now you know that for all practical purposes, there are some of you Jesus Christ would rather have you never speak one word that you know him, know of him, or are remotely concerned with him than to say so. And the next minute, to a very weak and sick unbeliever, have him point his finger and accuse and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You know the biggest problem with sinners? The biggest problem with sinners is weak Christians. You mark my word, I know what I'm talking about. The biggest problem with sinners in Andrew, Texas is weak Christians in the church world of the city. That's the biggest problem. That's the one stumbling block. They sit back and they jeer, they laugh, they mock, they ridicule the name of the Lord. As you walk bond in bondage to all the things you say you're free from. Have you ever had a friend you just assumed nobody told, that he told nobody you and he were friends? I went to school too, you know. And sometimes you have latch on to you somebody that nobody can depend on, nobody can trust. Cheaters, liars. There have been a few times in my life I've had people who called themselves a friend. I just assumed they didn't tell anybody they knew me. Especially one day there was a boy in our school at Fort Worth, Texas, where I was attending. It was my senior year, and our sociology class had to go to prison, you know, to visit. And there was a boy named Larry that had gone to that school the year before that I had tried to witness to the Lord about. Larry was a pretty rank fella. He had been stabbed, came to school with a big hole right in his side where, I mean, boy, some boy plugged him with a knife. Came to school that way, sick, weak, bleeding. I tried to help him, and he never forgot it. Larry became a friend. I didn't know why Larry wasn't back the senior year, but when we went to the city jail in our sociology class, I wish Larry would never have told anybody he was my friend, because the first thing, "Hey, Dave!" And everybody in the prison knew he knew me. The preacher's kid. No wonder Jesus was very careful to instruct these disciples. Don't tell him. Why? Why? I mean, what was wrong with the disciples? What did they ever do that would make Jesus want to say, "Don't tell anybody you know me"? Well, let's see. There was one named John who wanted to call fire down out of heaven and consume a sleeping village of women and children because they wouldn't let him spend the night. So disgusted was the Lord Jesus that he said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit you're of." And then there was James and John, who got to argue over who would sit closest to him when he came into his kingdom, and they drugged their mother in on the argument. And Jesus finally said, "It's not up to me where you sit in the kingdom." Frankly, he was saying, "It's up to you. And it's up to us where we sit in the kingdom. If we even get there, it's up to us." Or maybe you would like Peter for a friend. Remember Peter? Time and time again, he said, "P-E-T-E-R, Peter." Write it in your book. If you need any help, if you need anyone, call me. I'll be right there. Luke 14:50 says, "They all forsook him and fled." And Peter, warming himself comfortably while Jesus was being tortured and tormented, at the jibe of a servant girl, began to curse Jesus to his face. Would you like a friend like that? Or maybe you'd rather have Judas. Enough said? Or Thomas. And you go telling the great joy of the gospel. He says, "I doubt it." Let's face it. Jesus Christ's Bible class was a flop. It was a flop. Acts chapter 5. You still with me? Acts 5 is a very exciting passage of scripture, and the 17th verse starts out this way. "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him," which is the sect of the Sadducees. How many of you know what Sadducees are? I'm not going to embarrass you. Come on, do you know? There you go. You know, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And they were sad, you see. And were filled with great indignation. Well, I'm glad, you see, because I believe in the resurrection. Well, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." That's a message outline. One scripture. That's a far cry from "See to it you tell no man I'm Jesus the Christ," isn't it? That's a far cry from "Keep your mouth shut about the fact you know me, Peter, and the rest of you. Don't tell anybody." And here they are imprisoned for their testimony. And the angel of the Lord by night opens the prison doors and tells them to go stand in the temple and or teach in the temple to the people all the words of this life. That's a far cry. Big difference. Something's wrong. Something's right. Something's right. And when they heard that, what was that, that command? They entered into the temple early in the morning. That's revival. Yeah, that's revival. I'll guarantee you that Brother Burrell could fix a Saturday night barbecue and you could have a Monday morning prayer meeting. I know what you'd have the most to it. He's got good barbecue in the first place. Second place, it's hard to get anybody to church early in the morning. 10 o'clock's early. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and they called the council together. You know, we're going to have a little caucus, get the clique together. And the Senate, boy, they even had the Senate there, and the children of Israel sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they found them not in the prison. How many of you have ever been in the military? I know he has. You remember standing watch? Some of you think, you know, you put your watch down, stand on it. That's not standing watch. Standing watch means you walk back and forth all night guarding something, you know, with your gun on your shoulder. Click, click, left, right. You're doing about face, click, click, left, right, about face, click, click. And you do it all night, guarding garbage cans. That's what I did. I guarded garbage cans all night in boot camp. With a gun that had lead poured from the top to the bottom of the barrel. I couldn't even club anything with it. It's so heavy. 9 foot. Now, don't call it a gun. It's a piece. Nut. That's what he called us. Nut. It's a piece. Piece of junk. And if you called it a gun, you stood and held it all, you know, for an hour like that, till the thing didn't weigh 9.5 pounds. It weighed 950 pounds. But can you imagine being, you know, a Caesarite, and here you are all night, walking back and forth, left, right, click, click, about face, left, right, you know, carrying a 9.5 pound spear, cousin Caesar, you're sick of him. You give anything to be in bed asleep, your warm, clean sheets, and the next morning wake up, find there's nobody even in the prison. You guarded an empty cell. That was the good thing about boot camp. The garbage cans were full. And here they come. Hey, guess what? I can see the little grin on their face, you know. You blew it this time, fellas. Those guys you put in prison, they're gone. Whew. And they're standing in the temple teaching the people. Boy, there's a difference in Matthew 16 and Acts chapter 5. Yes. Something happened. Well, you remember over in Matthew 16, one of the things Jesus said, if you still have your Bibles, you know, I told you to keep your thumb wet, beginning of the revival. He said in verse 23 of 16, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. How many of you wonder if you're offensive to God? Wouldn't you like to know if you're offensive to God or not? Let me tell you something. Some of you in here may well be offensive to God Almighty right now. I mean, your attendance in the house of God this morning, May the 11th, 1975, at the hour of approximately 11:40, makes you in no wise qualified to enter into heaven. Now, don't kid yourself. You may nod, say amen, clap your hands and do everything. I call it evangelically house trained, not to make a mess of things in God's house. It does no wise qualify you for entrance into the kingdom. You may be offensive to God with a $1,000 check to missions. Because you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And here Peter is. And the disciples cast into prison for the testimony of Jesus. And the angel of the Lord blows it. Boy, you talk about a prison escape. They had one on their hands. But where do they go? Right back to the scene of the crime, if you please. And again, doing the same thing they did that they were thrown in prison for, teaching and preaching to the people, the Lord Jesus. Yes. And they come and lay hands on them to throw them back in. And they said, hey, didn't we straightly charge you to speak no more in his name? You intend to bring this man's blood on us. And they were doing a good job of it. And they said, you filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. That's the best compliment they could have given them. And then Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. What a difference. What a change has flooded the lives of these disciples who in one minute Jesus was saying, you say were the things that men, of men more than those things of God. And now we find in Acts 5, we are to obey God rather than men. Oh, what a glorious difference. Something happened to old Peter and those disciples. And you find the record of it in the 24th chapter of Luke. One of the most inspiring accounts in the Word of God. Verse 1 says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Whose sepulcher? Jesus' sepulcher. What were they coming to do? Witness the resurrection? Don't kid yourself. They came to embalm him and put him away for good. A lot they believed in his words, on the third day I'll be raised again. The trouble was they did not only believe them, but they never really heard them. It went in one ear and out the other, just like a lot of people today. Let's face it, your pastor preaches gospel. Evangelists and teachers teach gospel. And how much of it goes in and out? I laid in the hospital one day, and the doctor was trying to work on this ear. He was in there with these little utensils. Sounded to me like he was in there with a bulldozer. And you know, it was a little bit painful, and I'd inadvertently move. He said, be still. Now, I had a little television sitting here. I was watching a football game. Oh, did I sin? And he was on this side looking at me. He said, would you please be still? I'm trying to watch the game. You remember, no doubt. No doubt. The day Jesus spoke of the one of the greatest dissertations of greater as he that's in me than he that's in the world. When he spoke of the man who's possessed of a devil who had been delivered, but he did not furnish his house or his heart with the gospel, and it was left swept, garnished, and empty. And that devil went and got seven more vials than himself, came back and moved in. Because it was empty. I'm here to tell you there are many empty Christians. If you can put the two words together. Empty. You can look in one ear and see out the other, for that's the direction the gospel goes, truth goes. They came empty because they did not keep his words. Empty. They stood in front of an empty tomb, not realizing what had happened. This is quite an occasion. I remember not too many years ago, before I was married, I was still in high school, saw a freshman. I lived down in the little town of Cuero, Texas, now near San Antonio, right beside 26 miles from Victoria, Texas. And there was a boy in the church there named J.B. And J.B. was as country as could be. And that's why I liked him. We used to go rabbit hunting with a 22. I had one of those semi-automatic, you know, you pull the trigger and bang, 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 as many times you pull the trigger up to 16. And I usually fired all 16 at a rabbit, and then I had to go try and get him next time I loaded up. And I was chasing this rabbit one day. Both of us were. And I remember going under the fence. I picked my gun up and took off again, trying to get the rabbit in my sights and watching more of the rabbit than where I was going. I hung my toe and plowed the dirt. Boy, I want you to know I hit like a ton of bricks. I got up. I looked around and brushed myself off, and I'd stumbled over a tombstone. No joke. I said, J.B., come here. And here, old J.B., he run, his legs start under his armpits, I believe. Real long, you know, just whoop, whoop. His heel hits, and it takes 2 seconds before the sole of his foot hits. Great, big legs and feet. Here he came, boy, just clomping out like Jake the... Well, anyway, and he hit the dirt, you know, and I wondered. He got up and looked, and sure enough, another tombstone. We were in an old, deserted, overgrown graveyard hunting rabbits. We were paralyzed as we were looking at some of those headstones and that crazy rabbit jump and run. So did I. Not after him. I didn't know. I thought there was a resurrection of the dead for a minute. And I had to go back over the fence. I do not remember crossing. We got back over and I looked, and there was, you know, these on top of the ground burials? There was one of them in this old tombstone. is deserted now. The train had come by. The train came right beside it. And the vibration of that train had caused this whole thing to break open. Now, don't get scared. By this time, there's nothing inside anyway. He that was is returned to dirt, you know. I guess. But there was a little pile of hot burning coals inside this busted open grave. This is no joke. I was scared to death. A hobo that lived in that thing, I guess, thought we were what I thought the rabbit was when he jumped and run. And he jumped and run evidently because there was no hobo to be found anywhere. Can you imagine these hysterical women standing at an empty tomb early in the morning? They've come to embalm a dead body and it's gone. And all of a sudden UFOs pop up. That's what they thought. Men in shining garments, that's what they call them our days. One guy wrapped himself up in tinfoil, walking down with hangers, clothes hangers up here in Louisiana. No joke, in Louisiana, I read in the paper, and everybody vowed and declared a UFO landed, and this was their little men coming out. They weren't little men, they were big men. And the police captured them. You know, they didn't even put up a fight. No guns, you know, no bzzz. And put them in jail and asked them why. And they said, well, everybody's talking about UFOs. We thought we'd be one. What do you think these poor women felt like? Now listen, they were human beings. They were just like we are. I imagine they were too scared to run. So they stood still and listened to what was said for a change. What do you think was said? Why seek ye the living among the dead? Pretty good question. That ought to be written over every doorpost of every church in the world that does not permit the Spirit of God to be alive in their midst. Why you come here? You looking for Jesus? He's not here. He's gone. Well, He's not here, but He's risen. And remember how... Do what? Remember. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee? You remember 17 and 22 of Matthew? In Galilee, He said, I'd be raised again the third day, but they've forgotten. And now the angels say, remember. They heard it, and it was there. And when they remembered, wow. No wonder Jesus said to the woman after His dissertation on greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world in this conflict over Beelzebub and how that he casts out devil through Beelzebub. And Jesus said, if a house be divided, it can't stand. And a woman piped up and said, blessed be the paps thou suck the womb that bear thee. God bless your mother is what she said. Yes. And here He's talking about devils of hell fighting and opposing the powers of God, and she's thinking about His mother. No wonder she's empty-headed. No wonder our church people are so empty at times, over and over again. The gospel is preached, the truth is delivered, and they're thinking about dinner in the next 20 minutes. Oh. Remember, He said. And they remembered. Well, Mark 16, don't lose these other places. Keep your hat pin there. But Mark 16 has a very enlightening account of something. My brother, who isn't here, as you know, this morning, but... As a kid, he used to pull a stunt on me that I despised. It was the most despicable thing an older brother can do to a younger brother. And that's when the older brother gets you as a younger brother among men and he says, hello, Dave and men. You'll just eat me alive. Because I wasn't included as men. Can you imagine how Peter felt when in Mark 16 the story is given that the angels said to these women, verse 7, go your way and tell his disciples and, what's his name, Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. How do you think Peter felt? Go tell his disciples and Peter. Well, here they came. You remember the story? Well, it's right there in the 24th chapter of Luke. Just as fast as they could run. I could run pretty fast too after what had taken place. Up the fire escape, down the alley, up the fire escape, they went knocking on the door. I could hear Peter say, what's the password? Well, you know what they were doing up there, don't you? They were hiding because they were afraid what was done to Jesus would be done to them. It was not the upper room with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It was the upper room with the outpouring of fear. And they were scared spitless. That means you can't spit. And you'd have thought these women were soldiers the way they crashed up those stairs. And he recognized her voice when she said, he's risen. He's what? Open the door. Take two aspirin, drink lots of fluid, and get lots of rest. You're hysterical. You should, if you think that's funny, you should have been there. The Bible says their words seem to them as idle tales, verse 11. Idle tales. Whoever, and so brother and sister Cleopas didn't have anything better to do. They went home. And when you know it on Mother's Day, we have to admit it, women were the first people to preach the gospel. What is gospel? Delivering good news. What's good news? He's risen. That's gospel. Amen. Women did it. But nobody believed them. You think Peter did? He ran and stooped down and looked where Jesus wasn't. He didn't believe him, or he wouldn't have gone there, because they just said he's not there, he's risen. But he went to see where he wasn't. Well, don't feel bad, ladies. Because brother and sister Cleopas, see, on the way home, they met Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus. On the way to Emmaus, you remember the story, he drew up behind him, he's listening to what they said. Whew. And I got to hurry. He didn't say anything. You might. And here they were, just despondent and downhearted, and everything they said was what it was used to be like, not what it is like. And Jesus, listening in verse 17, he said, what manner of communications are these? You have one to another as you walk, and you're sad. And one of them, who was Cleopas, answered and said, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Look, fella, if you don't know what you're talking about, don't talk. Why, we got a right to be sad. Nobody believed. You can see here every disciple that we come in contact with, they didn't believe those words, I'll be raised again the third day. Well, it goes on. You well remember the story, I'm sure, that he began with Moses and went all the way through the prophets to himself of the messianic prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ that should come, and they still didn't recognize him. And everything they said was past tense when they said, don't you know the things that have happened? He said, tongue in cheek, what things? Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was, past tense, a prophet. That was concerns not only a prophet, but was mighty indeed, was mighty in word, was before God and all Israel, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered and condemned him to death and have crucified him in past tense. We had trusted. Now, we don't trust anymore, of course. That it should have been him which should have, past tense, redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today's the third day. Light should have come on. Bells should have rung. Buzzers should have buzzed. They should have remembered the third day. But they didn't. And it was not until they got into the home of brother and sister Cleopas in Emmaus, up Fifth Street, through the little fence, opened the door, said, now, poof, disappear and act just like that. Gone. Well, I can tell you, I doubt seriously if the bread was eaten. I doubt if the chairs were stood back up after the marvel of his disappearance. I don't believe the door was shut and the gate was left standing open. The dog barked all the way back to Jerusalem chasing them. When they got there up the fire escape knocking on the door, Peter, he's risen. Yeah. Get the aspirin. Drink lots of fluid, get lots of rest. The Bible says they didn't believe them either. The second time the gospel is preached, they still don't believe. So I'm not giving up on you. Now, Peter had already prepared his notes for his three-point message on three reasons why I do not believe Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And he had them all laid out, and he said, now, ladies and gentlemen, we're gathered here today on this occasion, and I'm here to tell you it is impossible that one should be raised from the dead. Jesus Christ is dead, and now the corner of his eye, there stood Jesus in the corner of the room. Have you ever been talking about somebody and have him walk up on you? He probably swallowed his notes. You'd have thought Jesus was a ghost too. But if you'd seen Peter, you'd have thought Peter was a ghost. White as a sheet. Frightened. There he stood. They trembled in fear. Brother and sister Cleopas recognized him. Oh, did they ever? Mary did. And there he stood. And he said, come here. Psst. Handle me. Put your finger right here. See? My side. And I believe he pulled his hair off his forehead and he said, you look right here. See? That's where the nails, or rather the thorns of the crown were. It's me. I'm alive. Give me something to eat. And he ate. The Bible says when they saw him, they worshipped him. Oh, hallelujah. When's the last time you worshiped? Last time you saw him. Don't lose your vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes ever on him. As long as you see him, you'll worship him. And they believed. And they went to Thomas. Thomas, it's Jesus. He's risen. I doubt it. You remember? And he put his finger in his hands. And his hand in his side. And he saw and beheld the nail prints in his hands and feet and the thorn prints in his brow. And he said, I believe. And Jesus said, yea, rather blessed are they which you have not seen and yet believe. That was me he was talking about. You, if you believe. So great was that momentous occasion that John, in his first general epistle, was so excited about that moment he hadn't forgot it years later when he wrote. And in his first letter, the first sentence starts out, that which was from the beginning. What was from the beginning? Well, he put it in his gospel, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he starts his letter the same way. And that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. You can ask Thomas, he'll give you the same story. It was Jesus. And he said down in verse 4, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Because see, John didn't want you to be Sadducees. He wants you to be glad you see. A lot of people seem to think that the power of the Holy Ghost died with the disciples. If that's the case, I'm quite confident there are many who believe that the sect of the Sadducees died with the sect of the Sadducees. And if you'd been there, you'd have believed Peter was the ringleader of the sect. Because none of them believed in the resurrection. That made them automatically qualified to be Sadducees. But I'm here to tell you that in 1975, may well be in this very audience, this morning, Sadducees. Who will not believe what they say they believe. Won't do what they say they do. And don't see what they say they see, nor hear what they say they hear. And you'll walk out of here this morning just as sad as when you walked in. Probably a little sadder because I may have held you a few minutes late. I hope not. My watch is still doing its thing. Matter of fact, it stopped dead right now, 12 o'clock, 15 seconds after. But I'm telling you that gospel will change your life like it did theirs. Part one. And I won't have time to go into part two, but you'll get it wrapped between the eyes tonight. Will you be back? You got to believe. God bless you, Pastor.